Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Milky Way Mixer. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to St. Pete, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It is today that we as Americans become Rams fans. Today's show will revolve around yesterday's AFC and NFC championship games, obviously. Oh, goody. Patriots are back in yet another Super Bowl. This should be a lot of fun. Fresh blood. Good to see a new set of faces and coaches and jerseys and fans in the Super Bowl. We'll talk a lot about this game. Troy Brown's going to join us. I do enjoy Troy Brown's company. We work together in Boston. He's a great dude. And he's a 3-time Super Bowl champion with the Pats. He'll join us coming up here 1 hour from now. We will dissect all of yesterday, all of it. The autopsy will be complete through 3 hours today. Todd Gurley's bizarre day. The NFL's overtime rules. Drew Brees and a sad end to his season. Sean Payton's coaching. D. Ford's offside. Patrick Mahomes' day. All of this is on the table this morning. Obviously, I know you guys have lots of thoughts, lots of opinions, perhaps a lot of emotions after yesterday's games. And so here is where I am. I am here for you. You let us know how you feel, what you think. A lot of controversial calls, a lot of dispiriting moments, a lot of energizing moments. A lot of anger, frustration, enthusiasm, all of that part of yesterday. So please, dial me up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Yesterday, two overtime games, two thrillers, two exciting finishes. And yet, it is impossible to escape the officiating. It's impossible. You know my phrase, you know my slogan. Blaming the refs is the last exit before Loserville. You are driving and headed straight to Loserville, and there's the exit, blaming the refs. So I just want to focus on this. I don't want to say that the refs caused the Rams to win or the Patriots to win, but let's just drill down on incompetency. Let's just specifically drill down on doing your job. And while there was a tremendous game played twice yesterday, and the Rams and Patriots get to celebrate, get to head to Atlanta, for 2 weeks, we'll talk about those two teams. If we start at the Superdome, the non-flag on Roby Coleman is one of the most egregious missed calls in NFL history. combined with the roughing the passer call against the Chiefs, which was a complete and utter phantom joke of a call. Now, these are crucial moments, absolutely brutally crucial moments to decide spots in championships, places in a Super Bowl. The blatant incompetency is difficult to swallow. Overtime, quarterbacking, coaching, teamwork, chemistry, all of this stuff we can discuss and we will discuss ad nauseum. But if you ignore the officials because it's too hard to discuss, you are sticking your head in the sand. People don't want to talk about officiating because it doesn't make us feel comfortable about putting a bow on the champion. And the Patriots deserve their moment, and the Rams deserve their moment, and so people are uncomfortable going there. But how can you not go there after yesterday? How can you not go there? Specifically. With Roby Coleman's non-call. Roby Coleman admitted after the game he was trying to interfere with Tommy Lee Lewis. Admitted it. He said, I was going to give up a touchdown, so I didn't want to get beat for a touchdown. I might as well interfere. Save the game. He admitted it. You throw the flag there. The Rams have first and goal. They take a knee three times and kick a chip shot field goal to win. That decides a place in the Super Bowl. I mean, we can go back to Drew Brees' interception in overtime and having to stop him there. And we can go back through the OT and the final series of the game. But at the end of the day, that play, that call decides a spot in the Super Bowl. Guys, that is the worst non-call in NFL history. It is where we begin, the cold open.
Third down and 10, Brees from the gun, takes the snap, goes to the near side, hit early. Where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee, Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no-call.
Wow, not a flag to be found.
Unbelievable.
He is earned away with a play like that.
He is 4 yards before the ball is there.
Obviously, it's a disappointing way to lose a game. Frustrating, you know, just getting off the phone with the league office. They blew the call, and that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays. It's a game-changing call.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic,
it's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Saints Radio on the call. Sean Payton after the no call. I've got problems with Sean Payton. Sean Payton on that drive, on the first down play, should have run it right there. Sean Payton should have run it into the line three times. Sean Payton should have forced the Rams to take all of their timeouts, kicked a chip shot field goal anyway, and given the Rams the ball back with about 40 to 45 seconds to play with no timeouts, having to go the length of the field to tie it up with another field goal, again, with no stoppages of the clock. I've got my problems with Sean Payton right there. But the fact of the matter is, that is the single worst non-call in NFL playoff history. It is. It decides a spot in the Super Bowl. And on top of that, to follow that up in the AFC Championship game with a roughing the passer against the Chiefs where nary a finger touches Tom Brady. An arm goes up. It grazes across perhaps a shoulder pad with a fingernail. But nothing actually touches Brady's anything. And that's a roughing the passer call. I mean, thank you very much. As though the Patriots need more help. Here you go. Didn't even touch the quarterback, and that's 15 yards in a crucial spot in the fourth quarter. These are purely incompetent play calls and officiating mistakes. You can't ignore them from yesterday. You can't. There's no way to ignore them. It is purely incompetency from the guys paid to do a job. It's a tough job. It's a difficult job. It's a bang-bang job. But those are unbelievably awful mistakes when it absolutely matters most. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, out of those two missed calls, what's the most egregious?
I really believe it is the roughing the passer call on Tom Brady, because at least, as terrible as the non-pass interference call was, at least in split second without the ability to go back and look at it in a replay, you can make the case contact happened at the same time the ball was getting there and the old, hey, let them play. But there was nothing even close to a roughing the passer call. And in these rules of offense and all of this, how can that happen? How could it happen? I can't stomach the idea that Tom Brady somehow has nothing touch him and there's a flag. At least with the pass interference, you could fall back on, as terrible as it was, that they got there at the same time, even though we know they didn't in replay, but a ref making that mistake.
In real time.
In real time. In real time, there was nothing close to roughing the passer, so how can the ref make that mistake?
The only thing I can think is that the ref in the AFC title game assumed from his angle, because the hand was high, that it must have connected with Tom Brady's helmet. That's the only thing. But don't you have to actually see it connect with Tom Brady's helmet before you throw a flag?
Yes, and also the same ref who's calling those same calls didn't throw a flag when Patrick Mahomes was brushed up against the head, I believe, in the third quarter. So if you were letting that go and you had your eyes on everything, how does Tom Brady get that call but Mahomes doesn't, when Mahomes was actually tapped in the head? Makes no sense. It makes no sense. You're so backwards. You're so hypocritical. And why is it that in the Canadian Football League, where they have something called a rouge, and then the goalposts are above the goal line, you can challenge roughing the passer and pass interference in that league? What, it's 2019. Can we get with the program here? Super Bowls were decided because of these refs yesterday.
How could it happen?
Both of those calls should be now reviewable. And I hope what happened yesterday changes the face of the league, because we got problems here. Number one, for that non-pass interference or helmet-to-helmet, either one, they could have called Roby Coleman for you not to be able to go back and the officials say, yeah, you know what, we missed it, it decides a Super Bowl appearance, is ridiculous. You have to be able to go back and review that. And if it's not reviewable or challengeable by a coach or a team, it should go to league headquarters in New York, the same way we decide goals in the NHL, the same way we decide home runs in Major League Baseball. You should have the league office watching and say, no, you know what? That's a defensive pass interference. We've got to call that. That's an incredibly egregious miss. We have to correct that. And on the rough and the passer call, the same thing. If the central location is going, look, there's no contact there, we cannot call that, that's a 15-yard freaking penalty in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game where the quarterback is not touched. You have to say, we got to pick up the flag. There's no contact there. There's obvious evidence. It is conclusive evidence. Nothing was touched. I thought they got the Julian Edelman call right. Mraz, you disagree. I thought it was conclusive to overturn it. I did not think that Edelman touched that ball.
I have rewound, watched this, yelling at people in my living room, went back last night while I couldn't sleep to rewatch it. And I think one thing that the broadcast missed, to me, is Julian Edelman does not strap up his gloves. He has the flaps hanging. And if you look at that dead-on shot, the dead-on shot is where you could see, and I was wrong at first about the thumbs not touching, correct? If you look at that dead-on shot, and then you look at each side from the left and the right, that ball deflects off one of the straps. And if you think it doesn't, or you think it does, it's close enough that in this day and age, it has to be conclusive evidence to overturn. The call on the field was a fumble. How could you tell me that you know for sure it didn't hit one of those straps when watching the replay? And if the ref isn't looking for that and only looking at the thumbs, well, then we got replay wrong anyway. Luckily, there was an interception that changed that. But I would also say on top of that, you know what we would be talking about today? How dumb is it that you can't advance the muff fumble and run that into the end zone?
Very true.
You can block a field goal and run it in too. Now, that doesn't matter because none of that happened that way. But I bet you that would be talked about today had that been ruled a fumble.
And we haven't even gotten into the overtime rules where Patrick Mahomes doesn't even touch the football.
There's a chance yesterday changed the league on so many ways.
Agreed.
For what should be moving forward in rules in so many facets.
I agree. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Pete, would you mind just queuing up a Patriot fan so we can listen in to hear how things sound in Boston this morning?
I grew up right near Bill Belichick. I work with the organization. You know nothing. This is what they do. They are better pre-snap than you. They are smarter than you. They are 15-0 at home. You are the idiot, all right? I've been there. I've been through with Belichick. I've been there.
Still one of my favorite calls to CBS Sports Radio in its history, now in 7 years.
I've been there.
That was to Filippone last weekend. That dude was hot, real hot. Pats fans are such good winners. Just excellent winners. When we come back here on the DA Show, Todd Gurley, classless. That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Beam me up, DA. Can you believe it, my friend? Thank you so much for getting me uninvited to this crap.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I am broken! Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Glad you're with us on a fine Monday. We're taking your phone calls after yesterday's AFC-NFC Championship games at 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Patriots great. Troy Brown's going to join us coming up here in about half hour from now to talk about the Pats heading back to the Super Bowl, their ninth trip with Belichick and Brady. Todd Gurley had himself a terrible day. A couple of drops. Benched. Everyone thought that perhaps he was still banged up, still injured from how he was suffering late in the season. After the game, he said, no, I'm healthy. I'm fine. I was just sorry. Kept calling himself sorry the entire time. He was sorry. Rams still are moving on. C.J. Anderson at least came to play for him. But what was interesting was after the game, after that ridiculous no call, the worst no call in NFL history, that's not even debatable. It decides a spot in a Super Bowl. Todd Gurley took to Instagram and posted a picture of himself swapping jerseys with head official Bill Vinovich.
You are a machine of death.
Now, this didn't actually happen. This didn't actually take place. He had swapped jerseys like players do with Alvin Kamara of the Saints. But somebody photoshopped it, unless Todd Gurley's Photoshop skills are unbelievable.
Electronically ignorant.
Somebody photoshopped Vinovich's head onto Alvin Kamara's body and then inserted a referee jersey in Todd Gurley's hand. So it looks like he is swapping jerseys with Vinovich. It is such a good Photoshop job. I thought it was real.
How could it?
And I am so at my wit's end with NFL officiating. I was like, you see? They are all on the take.
You come into the pre-show meeting. Can you believe Vinovich took this picture with Gurley? I said, yeah, you idiot. It's Kamara.
So is Gurley classless for not only being a bum yesterday, benched because he was so bad, but then also rubbing it in Saints fans' faces? Yeah, and we had the refs. I think so. I think it's classless by Gurley. He stunk yesterday, and he's going to point in your eye and taunt you with, yeah, and we have the officials on our side? Yeah, I think it's classless. It's a great Photoshop job, but yes, I think it's totally, utterly classless.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Let me also tell you this. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Jerry Jones, pounding the gavel for football in Los Angeles. Robert Kraft, pounding the gavel, football in Los Angeles. We want the NFL in L.A. We want the NFL in L.A. We want the NFL in L.A. Oh, we got the NFL in L.A. And to decide a spot in the Super Bowl, it just so happened the worst no-call in NFL history helps L.A. I'm not saying I'm just saying. I'm not saying I'm just saying. The NFL and the power brokers, the Joneses, the Krafts, the real heavy power brokers of the league wanted NFL in L.A., and the no-call of the century assisted L.A. get to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. I haven't seen one of those no-calls help out the Browns. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. As always, great news. As I read it, I sound really happy about the great news.
I am broken!
There's a quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Jason's first up. He's in Louisiana. Good morning, Jay.
How you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm okay. More importantly, how are you doing?
Yeah, I went to the game. I can tell you right now, it's ouch. It stings, you know. And honestly, I've always loved sports. I've always figured there was something involved, but I never realized or never thought it would possibly happen to my team. But you're right. No excuses. We should have ran the damn ball, and that would have solved possibly the problem. But it's kind of hard not to acknowledge the fact now that the NFL could possibly just be a business, and that's all I wanted to say.
Appreciate you, Jay. You be well, man. I feel for you. I wish Sean Payton, and I had no rooting interest in yesterday's game, but just by virtue of smart clock management, I wish that Sean Payton decided to, instead of throwing on first down inside the red zone, you run it three times and force the Rams to take their timeouts, and thus you're never throwing in that instance where there's the no call on the pass interference. But once we got there, it is the most egregious officiating blunder, I would argue, ever. I mean, it's such a blatant helmet-to-helmet and a blatant pass interference that how it cannot be called is just, it totally dumbfounds me. 855-212-4227. Also, it's an Ask the Pros Day where you get to ask a question. We'll answer it later on in the show. Just tweet at me, DA on CBS. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. We'll come back and continue discussing yesterday's carnage. Also, after we saw the Patriots go down the field and win the game in overtime without the Chiefs even touching the football, could we be on the verge of a movement for the NFL to change its OT rules? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Looking forward to the next time Jody Mack fills in on the DA show. It's quite cold out here in New York, so who knows what the phlegm level is at for Jody. Glad you're with us, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Watch the show on any device. The simulcast is cooking right now at watchda.com. Available on your phone, your laptop, your PC, your tablet, whatever it is that you want to watch it on, you can watch at watchda.com.
Excuse me.
Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything that you need to do, Project Smarter, the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Bill Vinovich. The head official in Rams Saints, the MVP of the Rams effort yesterday. His missed call on Roby Coleman's blatant pass interference allowing the Rams a chance to get the ball back and tie the game before going to overtime. After the game, Sean Payton claiming the league office told him it was a blown call. Bill Vinovich doing more for his team. Brought to you by Home Depot. Liam is next up. He's in Dallas listening to the CBS Sports app. What's going on, Liam? Good morning.
What's going on, DA? How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing good, man. I just want to real quick talk about that Patriots game. I really think they need to change these overtime rules. Mahomes had a horrible first half, but he came back and he led that Chiefs offense, and they played well in the second half. And for them to not even get a chance to try to tie the Patriots based on a coin flip, it's egregious. And I want to know what your thoughts are.
Frustrating, Liam. I'm glad you brought this up. Let me take it back to 2008. The 2008 season, Peyton Manning in his prime with the Indianapolis Colts. They go 12-4. Chargers slide into the playoffs at 8-8. Wild card round. Because 12-4 that year was not good enough to even get a bye. Note that this year the Patriots went 11-5 and got a bye. That year 12-4 wasn't good enough to get a bye. Colts at home, wild card round. 12-4. They end up going to overtime. In overtime, it's 17-all. The Chargers win the coin toss, get the ball back, and proceed to go down the field to score a touchdown. Peyton Manning, one of the greatest of all time, in a home game that went 12-4, never touched the football because an 8-8 Chargers team scored the touchdown on the opening drive of overtime. And at that moment, I said, this is ridiculous. This is such a screwy, stupid way to decide a playoff game. Peyton Manning does not touch the football in overtime because an 8-8 Chargers team went and scored a touchdown on his defense. This is stupid. Now, this was a decade ago. And if you listen to the show, you hear me bellyache about the overtime rules time and time again. I'm glad they at least altered it to where a field goal on the opening drive doesn't win, because that's the way it used to be. A field goal yesterday would have won the game, which was even stupider. But yesterday, same deal. 10 years later, playoff game, at home, the Chiefs had earned home field advantage for the game, and yet in overtime, because they lose a coin flip, they don't get the football into the hands of the league MVP. Now, look, I am not giving the Chiefs' defense a break here. Bob Sutton's defense had 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-9, 3rd-and-10, and could not get off the field on that drive in overtime. That was problematic, to say the very least. Gut-wrenching, if you're a Chiefs fan. But, I mean, you've worked all year to collect home field advantage. You have now scored 24 points to end the game. And because you didn't win a coin toss, you don't get the ball back. You can't put it in Patrick Mahomes' hand. Chiefs win the coin toss, they probably win that football game. They lose the coin toss, they're not going to the Super Bowl. So they have worked all of this season for home field advantage for this very moment, overtime in the AFC title game. You've worked all year so that overtime in the AFC title game, you're at home. And you don't get to touch the football. How's that fair? How is that possibly fair? Stupid. Totally stupid. Now, I'm okay with this series of rules for overtime in regulation, or I should say the regular season. The NFL wants to reduce how long you play in overtime because of player safety. And so they've cut from 15 minutes to 10 minutes, which gives us more ties, which is stupid in my mind.
This is stupid!
But fine. In the regular season, you can't decide a playoff game with one team touching the ball. And I know what defenders will say. Well, get off the field. Force a field goal. Get off the field on third down. The defense is part of the team too. Yeah, fine and good. If your squad didn't touch the football in overtime and it cost you a chance to go to the Super Bowl, you would be screaming bloody murder. It's a dumb rule. Once you get to the playoffs, both teams should be mandated to touch the football in overtime. Okay? The best way to serve this, and then you say what? Well, why don't they both score touchdowns? Fine. Then next possession, fine. But at least give Patrick Mahomes the chance to score a touchdown and go for two. You have at least got to give the Chiefs a chance to match the seven and go for, if they want, if they feel like we can't stop them the next drive, they're going down the throat on us, they're going to win anyway, they go for two in the win. But to not allow in 2009 Peyton Manning to touch the football at home in a playoff game in overtime, and to not allow Patrick Mahomes yesterday the chance to touch the football in overtime is ridiculous. And I think there will be a groundswell of support now to change this. And what they should do, if they want to make it safe, they should go to the college rules. People don't like the college rules because it feels gimmicky. But at least you know both teams touch the football in overtime. And what you do is instead of having it at the 25-yard line or the 30-yard line like college, just back it up to midfield. So that at least you need to get a first down to line up for a field goal. That should be the NFL overtime rules, because then you could end overtime in essentially four plays on both sides. That's what happens in college. You could take three knees and kick a field goal in college. Now you got to stop the other guy, stop the other team, but to not touch the football yesterday, to me, is totally, utterly insane. If you are Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs offense, I just think that's so stupid. And I think there should be, and there will be, a groundswell of support for changing it after what we saw yesterday. 855-212-4227. Grant is next up. He's in Kansas City, listening on the CBS Sports app. Good morning, Grant.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay, man. How you feeling?
I'm going to be one of those outliers here. The truth about it is, for me, is that if the rule is fair or not, regardless, here's what happened. Our defense played the best they could, but, you know, I heard yesterday right before the game, sportscasters were saying, if they run the ball just as much as they pass it with Tom Brady, it's going to fool our defense. And it did. Rex Burkhead took that ball and ran that. And you just saw Brady walking down the field constantly. If we did go into it, and this was a perfect world, and we did have it where we had a possession too, we would have scored a touchdown. Tom Brady would have gotten the possession, walked it down the field. They would have blocked our offense a second time and kicked the field goal. And I'll say the truth. I love the Chiefs. I've lived there my whole life. I've spent my whole life there. I've been there through the hard times. And the fact of the matter is, you know, what Andy Reid said, we have to take the pain in and accept it. We've got to accept the pain, and we've got to learn from these mistakes. We've got to put our defense together.
You're a good man, Grant. You're a good man. I wish you the best. I wish Chiefs fans had something to celebrate today. It's been nearly 50 years since the Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl. 50 years, 49 years. Next year will be 50 years since Len Dawson and the Chiefs were in a Super Bowl. Patriots have been now to 9 in 18 years. So what fan base would have been more enchanted, more deserving, more into it? I would certainly say the Chiefs. I wish you guys would have won yesterday's game, but you're a good man to take it that way. And I think we all assume Mahomes will be in more big games like that before. But as we always point out, there's nothing guaranteed in the NFL. There's nothing guaranteed in life. Dan Marino got to a Super Bowl in year number two, never got back. Sparky's next up. He's in Florida, listening on 105.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Spark.
Yeah, what's going on, Doug?
How you doing?
Super. It's a super, super day, and I just want to tell you, those two playoff games, after 60 years of watching professional football, have to be two of the greatest games I ever watched.
Did the did the way that the officials blew that call at the end of the Saints-Rams game leave you at least dissatisfied a little bit?
I'll tell you how the whole thing needs to be fixed. I think that you've got a really good idea about the overtime, and I think rather than giving any of the head coaches an extra timeout, I think that the headquarters in New York needs to be at no matter what game, whether it's the first week or a playoff game, they need to beat somebody on the field, stop the game, even if the head coach throws a flag, his red flag, or he can't throw it, then call a timeout, give their team back their timeout if it's overturned, and make the right call at the right time.
If it's that egregious, I agree with you. If it's that bad of a call like the end of the Rams and Saints game, there should be a central office that's allowed to reverse the call to get it right. I understand why on the field challenging judgment calls the NFL wants to avoid, but in this case, it is such a massive moment that decides so much, you should be able to have a central office say, we blew that, we got to correct it. That's pass interference. On the rough of the passer call against the Chiefs, they've got to stop it and say that's just his arm didn't even touch Tom Brady. That cannot be a 15-yarder. We cannot have that be a call that decides a game or helps decide a game in the fourth quarter of an AFC Championship game. Those are incredibly awful mistakes by the officials. Rob's next up. He's in Boise, listening to 92.3.1 at KTIK there. Good morning, Rob. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, DA. I'm doing fine. Thank you. Hey, first of all, can I get beamed up, please? It's been a while.
Sure. There you go.
Thank you. Hey, DA, I just want to touch on a couple things. You know, first, I'm an avid Rams fan. And, yeah, I will definitely say that was a horrible, horrible no call on Robey Coleman. And what you just mentioned, well, a little bit ago about Robey Coleman admitting he was going to do the pass interference rather than give up a touchdown, really just goes to confirm what I've been saying about our secondary all season. They're just mistake-ridden. They're not a good unit as a group. If he turns around, that's an interception. And I don't understand why DBs don't play that position like they should. If he turns around, it's picked. And we don't have this discussion. But the refs were horrible in both games. But what I want to know, DA, is, you know, the Saints, and I'm not trying to make excuses for the Rams here, but the Saints had a 13-0 lead. They had the crowd into it. They also got the ball first in overtime. And Brees throws the pick. What you talked about as far as Peyton's coaching. So it was a terrible call, yes. But the Saints really had some opportunities.
Totally. Absolutely right. The Saints had a lot of opportunities to ice that game, and they could not do so. And they, I mean, a big reason was they had five trips to the red zone, only got two touchdowns, settled for three different field goals on three different red zone opportunities. Can't do that. They allowed the Rams to stick around to that game. And like I said before, on that final fateful series, if I'm Sean Payton, I'm running the football three times, forcing the Rams to take their time out. I'm kicking the field goal anyway. And then the Rams have to go the length of the field to kick a field goal or at least 50 yards or so. Although Zern line was awesome, so maybe 40 yards. But either way, they got 40 seconds left and no timeouts to do it. Al's next up in Richmond, listening to 106.1. Good morning, Al.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Hey, longtime Pats fan. You know, back when they were terrible, wanted to be just like Johnny Hanna. The no call on the roughing the passer, what bugged me the most about it is with Edelman muffed slash maybe muffed punt, they had every angle all around Edelman to see if it hit him. But when they reviewed that play on the roughing the passer, they just gave that one shot from the right-hand side, and you couldn't see the other side. Now, I get it. If it was there, it was there. If it wasn't, it wasn't. But the problem I have is they never came close to Brady throughout the day.
And when you start jumping at the quarterback, if the referee is out of position and you're flailing your arms, they're going to make the call.
Yeah, but I mean, so that now we're saying you're not allowed to flail your arms around Tom Brady? That's how we're going to block defensive linemen? You're not allowed to flail your arms? I mean, think about how impossible their job anyway is. And now you're asking them, don't put your arms anywhere even close to Tom Brady, because it could be interpreted as perhaps from the wrong angle, maybe grazing his face mask. I mean, that's not fair to the Chiefs. That's not fair to any defensive player. Forget just the Chiefs. Just should have been two great games, and they were just pockmarked by really terrible officiating mistakes. When we come back, Troy Brown's going to join us. Longtime Patriot great. Talk about the win with him next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.